Lottie, when you were describing where you lived and how the yard was laid out and stuff, if your parents, like especially if your mother was so upset about you talking to the tailors and stuff like that, was there any, did the landlord ever decide who was going to live where and whether like tailor shops should be next to places like your jewelry shop or, you know, were there like sections of the city where those professions were of the town?
Well, the tailor shop was in the yard.
Uh-huh.
And the stores were in the front on the street.
See, oh, all the tailor shops were in the
see,
yard?
See, this was the yard.
Uh-huh.
And here was stores, but they were in the front.
Uh-huh.
This was the back of the in the yard. We would have to go out through the back in the yard. And he was one shop, and there was our house, and there was another shop. And there in the back was a laundry, a big laundry that people used to come to wash, and then mingle too. People used to come there from all over the city. And we had a wine shop, the owner had a wine store, and our jewelry store, and there was the grocery store. The owner's daughter owned the grocery store in the front. So the we were in the back. The shops were in the back, and there was in the front.
Was that consistent? Were there places all over the town where the stores were in the front and there were tailor shops and things in the backyard?
No, there's just a few of them that were like this. I think there was another place. Sometimes the downstairs stores and upstairs were apartments. This exceptional place was a very big place where we lived. And then that was right in the front of the market. And we had on a Friday, Tuesday, Friday, the farmers. We had farmers, a lot of them that worked themselves, had a few acres of land. And on the Tuesday and Friday, they used to bring all kind of vegetable, eggs and chicken. And I used to go about a mile for milk to a woman. She was on the outskirts of the city, and she used to milk. I used to see her milk the cows, and I used to get milk. I used to walk about a mile to get milk from her, from on the outskirts of the city. And we had orchards on the outside. It was one big street and a few side streets. There was a lumber house on the side street far away on the end of the city. There were orchards, fruit orchards. And we had the Vistula was a lake, a big lake coming from Russia, going to Germany, the Vistula. And they used to catch fish, and they used to sell by us the fish, live fish. They were live fish. They used to sell it by us. My mother used to buy all this fish there from them. And it was a market. So there were fishers, fishermen standing with fish, and on the other street were chickens and good geese and vegetables and eggs on the street. That's how we used to get our fruits and fruit. It was a small town.
Lottie, were your family Orthodox Jews?
My mother was a religious woman. My father wasn't. He was a Hebrew deist, but he wasn't religious. But he gave us a good education in Jewish, in Hebrew. He gave us all the children a good education. In fact, he used to teach some of the rich owners in our city. And he used to teach them the higher education.
What kinds of things do you think that you inherited from that? Do you think you became very religious from your mother, or?
I didn't become religious at all. While I was at home, I had to obey my mother and father. But when I went away, I went on my own. I wasn't religious at all, and I'm not religious now. But I think I'm getting to be a little bit more religious now than I was when I came to this country. I never belonged to a temple. Now I belong to a temple. And to a reformed temple I belong. I like the music, I like the cantor, the singing, and I like the organ. I like a choir.
Was your family's position there in a mainly Gentile town? Were there certain issues that came up because of that, or was, you know, did you have like a certain position in the town?
No, my father was in the city quite active but he was just as active in the other organization as he was. He was active in the Jewish organization, yeah. But to him, everybody was alike. And that's the way I take it. To me, everybody's alike. People are people. He served for a lot of Gentile people. He went to court to be interpreter in court and to write for them and to go places for them. And we had a priest, church, and my father dealt with them all. And I used to go to the church deliver a clock or a watch or whatever it is, and the priest used to give me he had a big garden of fruit, orchards, and he used to give me a lot of vegetables and a lot of fruit home. He used to give me plus money for the merchandise that he wanted. And he got along very nice with everybody in Europe. They all looked up to my father. He was a very educated man, and he got along with everybody. A lot of people came to him for help. A lot of people came to him for help.
You mentioned something about your father going to America.
Yes. When the children kept on dying, they died one after the other. One from diphtheria, one from scarlet fever, one from measles, the four sons. And he was very disgusted and wanted to leave home to look for luck, better luck. So he made up with my mother that if you go to America, which he had his brother in America, that the one that I mentioned before, you have him in the previous record. The brother was not a jeweler, the son became a jeweler. So the brother had sent for him. So my father said when he established himself, in fact, he sent him for a rabbi. He had a position over there for a rabbi. But this was not my father's choice. He never wanted to be a rabbi, although he could have been a rabbi. So he said, when you come to America and you establish himself, you'll send for my mother. And my mother was pregnant at that time with me. So while he was on the train going, before the border, he passed the border yet. It was a little town, Yeshava, there where we lived, in Yeshava. The story that I told you is from Yeshava. So he took sick on the train, and the train was a few miles away from the city, and there were always people. Jews used to travel all the time from one city to the other, and they had committees like from the higher ranks, committees from the temple, visit the stations all the time if there anybody needs help or so. So they found my father there sick. They reported that there's a sick man on the train. So they took him down the train and they brought him to a hospital. We had a little hospital in our city, Yeshava. So they took him to the hospital. and he laid in the hospital. And a lot of Jewish men used to come in to visit him and talk to him, and they saw he was a very intelligent man. And they asked him what he was doing and where he was going and so on. And he said he was going to America, and he's going for a rabbi, and he's going this and that. Well, they said they need a rabbi by us too, and that the city that he was in the hospital. They told him that they need a rabbi, and he said this is not his choice to be a rabbi. Then they told him the jeweler, they need a jeweler too. We haven't got a jeweler, we haven't got a watchmaker in our city. So he took them up on it, and when he got well, they got for him a store, and they got for him, that was a different place, not that place that I had mentioned before, a little place downstairs, and the upstairs were living quarters, and downstairs was a store. And my father stopped making a living there, and he wrote my mother that he wants to stay here instead of going to America. And if I get a little older, meantime she should try to sell the place out, and she'll come to him there to Nishab. That's the way she did. She sold, liquidated with everything, and by that time I was 9 months old. She took me to Nishab, and he got an apartment for us upstairs, and we lived upstairs. It was a little apartment. And there was another family living upstairs from us, a couple, and they had two daughters and a son. The son worked in a bank, the same bank as the other fellow worked in the bank. And in fact, he was a partner of the bank there too. And the two sisters, they were all, none of them were married. They were in the 30s or so, the young, the son and the two sisters. And they took a liking, I was a very beautiful baby, that's the way I was told. And they took a liking in me, and they played with me, they took me away from mother all the time. And they were the buggy, and they pushed me, they wheeled me around in the buggy. And that son used to go to Germany, because he was connected at that time. The bank that we had, did I ever tell you, we had lumber was going from Russia, from way Russia to Germany. Germany didn't have lumber enough, and they went under Wiesel of the lumber. And the bank, and when they came in under Wiesel, there were Russian peasants working on them, on the lumber. They used to call it tratva, make it flat, and they used to go from one city to the other. And they had a hut, the peasants had little huts to stay overnight there, and there was always a one man, a leader, he had a hut separate. But the tratva was flat, but they had a little hut made from, and they used to register, by us in the city, they used to register themselves in that bank where those two boys, bankers, used to live, used to work in the bank. That was the only thing that the bank served them. And that fella that lived there by us, he used to go quite often to Germany to establish them, the wood. The lumber was brought from all the way from Russia to Germany, but the Germans never had lumber enough. And he used to bring me a doll. Every time he went to Germany, he used to bring me a doll. Once he brought me a doll, but the doll was bigger than I. And I walked with the doll and I fell and I broke the doll. Well, I was sick. I was so sick at that time that my mother thought that they were going to lose me. So that same fella, ran into Germany and bought me another doll. I'll never forget that. I was a little girl, and that doll is in my head that I got another doll from him. And I had kept that lot for, that doll for many, many years. And I was raised by them more than by my mother, because they were told that mother lost so many children. and they loved me, and I was by them all the time. And mother was in the store with my father. My father used to write, and or be in court or do writing, and my mother used to be in the store, and they used to raise me. You have the Vistula, you have? There was a lake, a great big lake.
You were 15 when you left, right? 14?
Well, my father made me older. My father made me older because I was a big girl, as I said before. I really was 12 and a half years when I came here. Well, I was. My birthday is in September, and I came in July. July the 4th. July the 3rd, I came to New York. July the 4th, I came to Fall River, Massachusetts. And in September, I was 13 years old. So I was July, August, September. I was 9 months, 12 years and 9 months. They're not calling you, are they?
Can you describe what happened the day you left? The day you left your tent, the day you left your father?
I cried an awful lot. I cried an awful lot. Maybe
that's not for me, guys.
Well, as I said, I mentioned before, when I said to my cousin in the joke, he should send me a ticket, but when he sent me the ticket, I started crying. And my father said, "You don't have to go if you don't want it." And then later, I thought, "I'll go." So I cried. My father took me till where was the first place? Of course, I had to go through Thorn. Thorn was the first German town.
How were you traveling?
By train. And I went there with that same Kleinbaum girl that I told you. She was the tailor's daughter, with a baby I mentioned before. I went with her. And we went to Berlin. And in Berlin, we changed trains. We went to... there we stayed a couple of days. We stayed there. It was I really can't think of it right now. Maybe it'll come later to me. That time we stayed there a couple of days, and my daughter and my father, when he went, were with me up to Berlin, and I cried, and he said to me, "You're going to have to go. I'm not sending you away from home. I want you home. You were a good help at home in the store, and I'll miss you an awful lot, and I don't want you to go." And I said, and my eyes were red from crying, and he was, that's the time he gave me older, because he was afraid. I wanted to go so bad, and I was crying. So he thought when he put me older, because we didn't have no passport at that time. We just had papers we had, because we didn't have no passport at that time. Just a card.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
Was there a certain age that?
Yeah, the age and my name and my...
was there only a certain age that she could leave?
No. Oh, but I ought to have somebody to go with me, and not alone.
Uh-huh.
So I was with her. She was supposed to take care, her name was Molly. She was supposed to take care of me. So I cried, and when I came down that time, Notre Dame, no. I think of that city. In fact, I have a card yet from there. So when I came there, I had to go to a vet house, an eye doctor, and physical examination, and they kept on looking at my eyes were red, and I was very much afraid that, that maybe they'll send me back already. That time I wanted to go already. But I passed. I passed. Then I came on the boat, and that woman kept me, held me up by her hand. That time was a lot of slavery, light slavery at that time. Men used to import from Europe young girls to America, to Argentina, to all over. And there were two men around me, hanging around all the time, talking to me, give me an apple, give me an orange. And she used to pull me away all the time. Don't go with them. Don't talk to them. They are terrible people. She used to guide me awful lot. I shouldn't talk to them. I shouldn't go with them. They were upstairs. They were first class, and we were on the second class. They used to come down all the time, from upstairs, downstairs, to talk to me. Two men. And she guided me. She held me by the hand. Don't go here. Don't go there.
Could you explain a little bit more exactly what they were doing?
Well, she were, later I learned that they were, of course they didn't say what they were doing. They were importing young women to South America, to America, for prostitution. For prostitution. She told me that there were a lot of them like that. That's why my father and mother told me not to go away from her. She should guide me, and I went with her up to New York. Up to New York. And if you remember, I told you the first time I saw colored men on the boat, if you remember too. When I saw first time a colored man on the boat, when I took the boat from New York to Fall River, at that time they had a boat, now they don't have a boat anymore. So I thought that he was one of the gangs too. That So I was so scared, and that when he walked out, I pushed, there was a table, I pushed towards the door, if in case he didn't want to go through, he wouldn't be able to go in. I was so afraid.
Could you explain maybe a little bit more what happened on the boat trip, what it was like, the one across?
On the boat?
Yeah.
Well, I was sick most of the time. I was sick laying on the floor. When we got on the boat, there were a lot of women and children, and most of them were women and children, and there were men, a lot of young men, that they ran away from the army. They didn't want to serve for the Tsar. Years ago it was very common to run away from the Tsar, because the Tsar wasn't so good to Jews, and they didn't want to serve him. So they used to run away. And some of them used to wait till after they were accepted. Because if they were not accepted and they were called to the army and they were not there, the parents had to pay $300 for every one of them that ran away from the army. So a lot of the boys used to wait till they accepted them, and then they ran away. So the parents didn't have to pay for them. And there was a lot of them that immigrated in my time to this country. Because when I came in, there were more students and young men that ran away from the army that came to this country. And here they had no profession, so whatever it was, you see, the easiest way was to get in a tailor shop, because it was piece work, section work. So they learned the one trade and they made a living over here. But they were a very intelligent young men coming in at that time. So when the young men went away, the young girls wanted to go away too. So young girls immigrated. I think I was the youngest from the. There were a lot of mothers with the children. The children, a lot of mothers with children. But from the girls, I must have been one of the youngest that I came here.
Are there any specific instances or experiences on the boat that you remember?
The two men, yeah. There were a lot of men hunting for women to talk to. With women, when they used to see a young girl, they would go up to them. And usually, when a young girl was going, she was attached to another family, because the parents at home didn't trust her to go alone, because we knew that this is happening on the boat and all over. At that time, there was a lot of white slavery at that time. So when a girl of 15 years old, 16 years old, she waited for her family to go, and they attached her to the family to go. And so like I was with another family going through. Well, there were a lot of men hunting on the boat. As I said before, they came down from upstairs. They used to come down. It was the first class was upstairs. And a lot of men, even with two women, they would talk and make friends and give them things that we didn't have to eat on the same second class. And they had a lot of more food than we had. So they used to bring down for them, like oranges. We never saw an orange on my boat. Or apple. We were given to eat herring and potatoes and bread and coffee. We were given to eat because it was cheaper. And upstairs, they had, maybe we had meat too once in a while, but upstairs, they had a lot of things to eat, good things, fruit, vegetables, and meat.
I'm really curious, Lottie.